Blackfin Web Design.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Judgment Day, How is the Day of Jesus' Return Like the Days of Noah?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, remember, we looked at one of the great missions of the Holy Spirit was to come and convince the world concerning judgment. Today, I'd like to talk with you about judgment. Judgment Day, the last day of the world, the end of the age, the second coming of Jesus, the return of Christ when he comes to judge the earth and to save and give to his saints the kingdom. What do you think that day is going to be like? What will the world be like just before Jesus comes? Do you think the world's ready for it? Are you ready for it? How does Jesus describe that day for us in Scripture? You know, we could look at that from a whole number of different angles. If we're in Scripture, they'd all be true. But today I thought a great way for us to refresh ourselves in the coming of Christ, the day of judgment, would be to look together at Matthew 24, at the angle that Jesus took there, where he said, as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. So let's take a look today at how the days of Noah and that great judgment are similar to and relate to the days of Jesus and his great coming on the last day. How are they similar? How are they different? That we also might be ready for the Lord's great return. To start that, let's take a look and just open up the Bible and let Jesus tell it to us. Read portion of what we just read a moment ago. Matthew 24, starting at verse 36. Jesus said, proclaimed, but of that day and that hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Wow, I could just stop right there and let Jesus preach this sermon. That's amazing, isn't it? Are you ready for the day of the Lord? What's it going to be like? Let's take a look for the rest of this message at how the days of Noah are like the greater day of the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, when he returns. How are they similar? How are they different? Okay, number one similarity that I see here, which we've really got to stay here at the start, is both Noah's flood and the coming of Christ are both real historical events that actually happened. So was Noah's event, was the flood an actual real event? Was that a real occurrence? Is that something that happened historically in history, that it really occurred on this earth to our ancestors? Or is it a fable and a myth and just something to forget about? Was it a real historical event? The answer is yes, absolutely. Noah's flood, that great day of judgment, was a real historical event. It happened in this earth. How do we know that? Well, you could look, if you wanted to the rocks, to geology. Do you know that the highest mountains of the world On the tops of them all are deep sea marine fossils. How did they get up there? Go to the tops of the Andes in Peru and you find giant clam shells. Go to the tops of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado and you'll find oysters. What are oysters doing up there? Was someone sitting there eating oysters? No, they're in the rocks. Oysters on the rocks? Is there something? If you go to the tops of the Himalayas in Nepal, you're going to see deep sea ancient fish fossils. And on the tops of all the mountains, how did that happen? There was a great flood. The tops of the mountains at one time were under the sea. Good luck to the rocks. You don't really need to. We don't need that sort of stuff because it's right here in the book. God told us, and it corresponds with the rocks, of course, but check it out. Genesis 7. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Then verse 19 says, and the waters prevailed so mightily upon the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. Wow, right? So this is a real historical event that really occurred to our ancestor especially Noah and his family, from whom we all come. It really happened on the earth. Jesus says, as were the days of Noah, shall be the coming of the Son of Man. It's also a real historical event that is coming upon the earth. It just hasn't gotten here yet. But we are like as in the days of Noah. Remember, Jesus said to the high priest, remember at his trial? There in Mark 14, he says, I am the Christ, and henceforth you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, and coming on the clouds of heaven. That's a real historical event, friends. We're not there yet. It's pretty close. It's coming to this earth. It's coming soon to an earth near you, just like a movie. No, it's coming to this earth very soon. Our world, the King is coming. He will return, Jesus, on the clouds of heaven. So number one, it's a real historical event. Let's mark that well, because the world doesn't believe this. We do. It's the truth. It happened in Noah's day. It's going to happen in our day. That's the first similarity. Second similarity I see here, of seven, by the way, is that Noah's flood and the second coming of Jesus are two events that both come in such a way that it catches the world unawares, off guard, by surprise, as a total shock and horror, where they are not ready for it. Amen? They're not ready for it. They weren't ready for it then. They're not going to be ready for it when the Lord comes the second time. What was it like in Noah's day at the time? Well, things were quite ordinary. There's nothing extraordinary about the time, at least from their minds. All things had continued as they were from the beginning of creation. We've never seen a flood before, so we can only expect that things will continue as they always have into forever. Nothing new or unusual coming. What was the world like in Noah's day, by the way? Well, we read in Genesis 6, right before, that in those days men began to multiply upon the earth, and daughters were born to them, etc. So there was a population explosion. Do we see something like that on the earth today? 8 billion? How many did they have? Well, at least millions, probably, but I've heard some people calculate billions, same as our day, same thing, as were the days of Noah, so now. There's prosperity on the earth in those days, because you don't have population explosions without lots of prosperity, lots of abundance. There was a lot of violence, too, but there were cities. There were mighty men, men of renown, we read in the Genesis 6, verse 4. There was an advance in technology, like skyrocketing. Look at Noah. He's building a 505-foot ship. That's amazing. In fact, this is a subject for another day, but if I believe that there are still ruins of some of those buildings on the earth today, because we see some ancient technologies in some places that we in our modern times can't even come close to doing. We'll talk about that on a Wednesday night. Wickedness was rampant on the earth in those days. But you know what? Nobody really seemed to care about God or about anything like that. They didn't fear his name. Nobody was calling upon God's name anymore. There was no trembling at justice. They didn't care about that. Nobody's repenting. There was one crazy guy, though, out in the woods or on the field, and he's building this huge boat. I mean, he's just a crazy old kook. Far from the sea, building a boat. What kind of crazy guy is this? Surely no flood would come, they said. Surely all things have continued as they always have been. Surely they will continue ever so. No flood, no worries, mate. No worries, mate. Let's just eat, drink, party it up. This day will be great like every other day. Is that the way it went for them? It took them by surprise. Again, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth. The windows of the heavens were opened, and Jesus says, and it came, and they didn't know. He says they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. They did not know until the flood came and swept them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. What's that teach you? It's going to catch the world unawares, off guard, by total surprise. They won't be expecting it. But will you? Jesus says, you must therefore be ready, for I'm coming at an unexpected time. That's the similarity between Noah's day and our day. Don't let it take you by surprise. Be ready for it. A third similarity of seven that I see here is the number of the day, of the people that were saved on that day. You ever think about that? How many were saved? How many perished in Noah's day? We got to take warning by this. How many will be saved when Christ comes? How many will perish on that day and not make it through alive? How many will be saved? How many perish when Christ comes? Well, Hebrews 11, verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, took heed and constructed an ark for the saving of his household. So God was obviously intending to save some people, right? 1 Peter 3:20 says, God's patience waited in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons were saved through water. Eight people! Are you kidding me? Eight people? There are millions of people on the earth in those days. Eight were saved. Does that shock you? Say amen. Amen. Does that not shock you? Eight? Are you kidding me? Eight? Yeah, eight. That's what the scripture says. Is that a similarity to Christ coming? Well, depends how you look at it. On the one hand, Revelation 7, John says, after this I looked and behold a great multitude which no man could number, from every tribe, from all the nations and tongues, and standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying, salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. Who is this? Those who will be saved at Christ's second coming, the true Christians. A great multitude and more than you can number. So many will be saved when Christ comes. However, if you compare that number with the great mass of humanity who will not make it through, it's still a very small percentage. And Ian picked up on this morning prophetically in our Bible study. Luke 13 and Matthew 7, someone once said to Jesus, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Enter by the narrow gate. Strive for the narrow door, Jesus says. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Yes, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide. The way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Say the word few.
Few.
Few, if you're saved, right? I just made that up. But, I mean, we got to be, remember the Marines are the few, the proud, the Marines. We're the few, the faithful, the Christians. Let that be said of us, that we are of the few. And the way we need to be of the few is to be ready for that day. Not like the world, but ready. The few, the saved, the Christians. Okay, so fourth similarity that I see of the seven between Noah and Christ's second coming is both, and I think you said it a moment ago, Kevin, I heard you say it, it's a storm. Was Noah's flood a storm? Or was it just kind of a nice trickle of rain, a little pattering of puddles over here? No? A sprinkle? No. It was a storm in Jesus' day. It's going to be a storm, friends, but it's going to make Noah's day look like a little sprinkling on a puddle. What was that day like? You ever imagine that? You ever think about Noah's day? As were the days of Noah, so will it be when Christ comes. Well, we don't know a lot of the details, but I imagine it could have gone down like this. They get up in the morning, it's a bright, beautiful blue sky day. Everything is looking good. I'm going to go to my work, run my errands, and I'm going to play, have a great time tonight, eat, drink, be merry. And everything seemed calm, quiet, perfectly normal. Nothing out of the ordinary, extraordinary. But there's that crazy guy again. But this time he's getting inside the boat, inside the ark over there. Crazy old kook. And they hear the door shut. They smirked. But as they walked then through the town, a cold rush of wind courses through the streets. And it rips their clothing. Oh, I better get a coat on. That was a strange cold blast of breeze. Then black clouds form in the blue sky, threatening quickly like a mighty hand, a fist, black as silk. Then you have the rumble of thunder, ominous. Then a terrifying crack as the lightning flashes through the sky from east to west, as if tearing the skies apart, and it's really like that. For you look up and you see the firmament then break open like the dome over a planetarium, and buckets of gushings, of cavalcades, of waterfalls, of 10,000 Niagara Falls pouring down into the earth, filling up from below. Then the stoppers are unleashed on the great deeps under the sea, and the water comes up from below and from above, and they comes up to their ankles, to their knees. They now run to the ark. They clutch at the door. Imagine that. Noah, Noah, let us in. Even us also. And then their fingers scratch along the wooden hull, and an angry, slamming wave hits them and tears them from the ship, and they are carried off and sink, never to be found or seen again. Does that sound terrifying? Did I do a decent job there?
Yeah.
That's just a little picture of that day, the terror and the horror and the shock and the awe of it. That doesn't even begin to picture what it'll be like on Christ Day. So we got to take it seriously, friends. Take this very seriously. The Bible says Jesus' day is, like Amos 5 says, woe to you who desire that day, the day of the Lord. Isn't it darkness and not light, gloom and no brightness in it? For the wicked, that is. Jeremiah 25. Behold, a great tempest is stirring from the farthest parts of the earth. Those slain by the Lord on that day shall extend from one end of the earth to the other. Isaiah 10 says, what will you do on the day of judgment in the storm which will come from afar? And Jesus describes it plainly in Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun is going to be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heavens, the powers of the heavens shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man. In the sky, all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They're going to cry out. They'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Goodness. Amazing. In that day, the sky will vanish like a scroll rolled up, Revelation 6 says. The mountains and the islands be removed. The kings of the earth, the great men, and everyone from the highest to the lowest, hiding amongst the rocks and the caves, calling to them, please, please, fall on us and hide us from the face of him seated upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of the wrath has come, and who can stand before it? Not ready, right? So that will be a terrifying day. Only Noah's day, it was water. Jesus' day, what is it?
Fire.
For the world that then existed, says Peter, was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist have been stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. You've got a little vibrato there, right? The destruction of ungodly men, but it's true. Why is the day so harsh? Point five. Because it's the day of the judgment of God upon all flesh. The day for the righteous king to come and eradicate evil from his realm, from his earth. That's a good thing, isn't it? It's good, and he's doing a good thing. What's the problem with that day? The problem is that the evil he's eradicating from his realm is men. They're evil. That's the problem. Because there you got in the flood days, Genesis 6, the Lord saw, looked down and saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God said, I am going to have to wipe the earth clean of this because I can't let this, the earth is filled with violence through them. Do you think our days are better than Noah's days? Are we pretty nice? Fancy, pretty righteous. The Christians are righteous. There's good on the earth, okay? But is our generation better? Here's three quick reasons why I think ours is worse. Number one, I think they, even then, still knew that there were only two genders and that men couldn't get pregnant. Okay, that's number one. Secondly, if you think of it, they had Noah preaching to them for 120 years, one guy saying, repent, kingdom is coming. Get right with the Lord, get aboard the ship. We've had tens of thousands of preachers for 2,000 years proclaiming a greater salvation in Jesus Christ, and the world still sniffs at it and says, not interested. That's even more violent. And thirdly, after the flood, remember, God was so gracious. He took his own bow that's around the throne in heaven, the rainbow, put it in the sky, the promise, I'm never going to flood the world again like this. It's my grace to you. But then that sign has been taken and made on a flag and used to slap God in the face with an abomination that infuriates and inflames him. Our generation, I believe, is worse. God still wants to save every human being, though. God has commanded all men to repent, says Paul, Acts 17, because he's fixed a day on which he'll judge the world in righteousness by a man he's appointed. And he's given assurance to everybody by raising him from the dead. Repent! God commands. Be saved. But the world says, nah, not interested. Just like they did back then. And so the anger of the Lord will not turn back, says Jeremiah, until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his mind. And in the latter days, he'll understand this. And Isaiah says, it will be sheer terror on that day to understand the message. And Solomon says, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's terrifying. Sixth similarity. But was there a way of escape in the days of Noah? And will there be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man? Yes, indeed. What is the way in Noah's day? An ark. Notice, the only way to escape that day or each of these days is by the way that God provided. And the way that God provided then was something a man built with wood, nails, sweat, and blood. A ship, a craft to carry them, a boat to buoy them up, and a ship to save them. It's the same in our days. We got one way that God has provided by one man who built for us a ship of salvation to carry us safely through, to save us, by wood and nails, the cross, by his own sweat and blood, to redeem the world by his atoning death. Friends, look at this. The wages of sin is death. That's the judgment. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many doors were there under the ark? One door, one way into salvation. There's one way into salvation in the new, in Christ's day. It's his ship, his person, his blood, faith in his name. For we read, God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but will have everlasting, eternal life. You'll be safe on that ship of Jesus, having believed on him. If you believe on him, Jesus says, you've passed out of judgment and you've passed into life. And he says in John 10, I am the door. If you enter by me, you're going to be saved. Now, when God put Noah in there, it says God actually closed and sealed the door himself. Are you in Jesus, sealed in the ship? Beyond the door, yeah. You have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You've believed in him, and you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. It's the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So similarity number 6, there's a way of escape. There's a way to be saved. And I'll tell you, it's Jesus Christ, and you've believed on him. You're on the ship. Praise God. Last of the 7 similarities I see for today's message, anyway, is, was there a world to be won on the other side of the day of judgment? Noah's days, we read in Genesis 8, at the end of those days of the flood, the waters receded from the earth. The ark came to rest upon the mountains of Ararat, and Noah stepped out into a broad, new, beautiful land, the earth. Now, that is our world. It still could fall into sin, but not the one after Christ's day. For in that day, the heavens will be kindled, the elements will be dissolved with fire, says Peter, but according to his promise, we're waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Everlasting joy to crown your heads with brightness, love, and peace everlasting. There is a world to be won on the other side of Jesus' day, and God has prepared for you for the very thing, where he's going to put away death, wipe away every tear, put away every former thing, crying in pain, and he's going to say, look and see and behold my people, behold, I make everything new for you to enjoy with me everlasting in the kingdom to come. Pretty good, huh? So in conclusion then, let's stay alert. Keep awake. Be ready for the day of Christ's coming, because it is a historical fact. It's quickly to appear on the earth. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, says Jesus, who also says to us, therefore, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Judgment Day. How is the day of Jesus' return like the days of Noah? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, diagonally across from the City Hall building. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. God bless you.